like to have a copy of God's word extract from the Bible, Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke. You'd like to have a copy of God's word that's offered to you quite freely here this afternoon in Canada. Only thing I declare that is free, and that is, of course, the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners such as you and I, that we might be reconciled to God. I mean, what could be more important? You know, if your sins are forgiven, what else matters, really matters, I ask you, in all this world? But of course, if you're not, if you're still faced with a lost eternity and not knowing, of course, the time when you'll be called out of this world, well then, you got a serious problem. And then, of course, in the Bible, if you were to read for yourself, take heed to what God would say to you, because you see, the Bible, the Word of God that I offer to you, that's the means, the only means by which God addresses, you know, speaks to people, men and women today. Yes, even in your modern age, with all your technology, you know, the Bible says, God says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth, proceeds from the mouth of God. His word comes to you from the Bible. That's why it's offered to you, and offered to you freely. Yours for the taking, do with as you will. But maybe as you read it, maybe were you to study it, meditate upon what God would say to you, maybe perhaps you would get the best gift that ever a man or woman did receive, and that is, of course, the forgiveness of their sin, rightness with God, and of course the assurance of eternal life. So like I say, you'd like a copy of God's word, it's offered to you. Yours freely for the taking, do it as you will. Some good advice here for you. Amos in the Old Testament, chapter 4 and verse 12, he says, prepare to meet your God. Prepare to meet your God. Solemn words. Of course, become people, even in unbelief, you know, use such words, you know, and I guess maybe become a bit of a cliche, but of course they're much, much more than that, very solemn, because like my sign here says, you're going to meet them, you're going to meet God sooner or later, and maybe, who knows, for some of you, a lot sooner than you imagine or even like to think, because the moment you breathe your last, you know, your sin is going to take you out of this world one day. That's what kills people, you know. It's not disease, it's not cancer, it's not guns, you know. It's not violence. It's sin that kills people. It's the wages of sin is death. That's what kills people. Your sin will take you out of this world just like everybody else. And the moment you breathe your last, you stand before your Maker, then you'll meet God, the one you always knew existed. You know, suppress the truth in your unrighteousness because you didn't want there to be a God, because you were in love with your sin and your unbelief, because you refused stubbornly, rebelliously, you know, to submit, to surrender to Almighty, to the one you always knew existed, you know. You breathe your last, and then you meet God. Then you stand before Him. It's appointed for men once to die. After that comes then comes the judgment. Not a black hole, not an unknown, not oblivion, but God. And then God, of course, well, He will dispense you. He will deal with you in accordance with what you have done or not done with His Son, Jesus Christ. If you believe by the loving grace of God, if you believe in Jesus Christ, His Son, you will be forgiven. And of course, have the security, the knowledge of eternal life and a home then in heaven. But be prepared to meet your God. Good advice, solemn words. And of course, well, maybe the solemn words that this generation, frivolous, melancholic, depressive, suicidal generation in which you find yourself, where everything's light, L-I-T-E, as light as a kite, you know. Nothing too deep, nothing too serious, nothing too solemn. Well, maybe it's solemn, maybe it's serious that you need, you know, to consider these words. Prepare to meet your God, because you've got to meet Him, like it or not, on the wrong side or the right side of Him. You've got to meet Him. It's appointed, divinely appointed. One day you're going to die. After that then comes the judgment. So I urge you, prepare to meet your God. Give a serious consideration and even prayerful thought to these words. You see, I never prayed in my life. I wouldn't even know how to. Well, here's a place you could begin. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Because that's what you are. That's what we all are, born into this world. You could ask God for mercy. Ask God to teach you, train you. Ask God to prepare you. But whatever, prepare to meet your God, because you're going to meet Him one day. And of course, you must continue on. You know, ask as Jesus. Keep on asking, He means. Seek. Keep on seeking, He means. Knock. Keep on knocking, He means. Ask, seek, and knock. The door will be opened up to you. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. You know, be persistent, be insistent until you know the love of God in your soul. Until you know that you're on the right side of God. Until you know that you're ready, prepared to meet God. But nothing could be more important than this. The meeting with God, you see, is inevitable. To meet God, and of course then, judgment is inescapable. You live and move and have your being in God. You're under His gaze continually. We all of us, you know. We all of us live under His gaze. There's nothing. Nothing you do in the dark. Nothing you do in the light. Nothing escapes His gaze. He sees all. The one that is to whom we are all of us accountable. You live under His gaze. There's nowhere. Bible informs us nowhere you can go to escape His gaze. You go up, the psalmist, he says He's there. You go down, He's there. You go to the left, to the right, He's there. There's nowhere a man can go, to the bottom of the sea, up and out of space. There's nowhere a man or woman can go to escape the gaze of Almighty God. So it's good advice, you know. Solemn, serious words, but you need to take heed to them. Here you are, just about the end of another year. Will you get another one? How many of you will see the new year in? How many of you will see 2019? Maybe, perhaps not. Maybe somebody, you know, under the sound of my voice here in Cannock this afternoon, and your meeting with God's going to be, you know, even before the year's out, a couple of days' time. So I urge you, prepare, as God's Word says, prepare to meet your God. Do it today, not tomorrow. You haven't got tomorrow. Oh, you see, maybe 2019, maybe a new year, perhaps, maybe. I'll give that some consideration then. Maybe, perhaps, you won't even see 2019. So you see, a day of dissolution's coming. That is, you know, when your body's laid in the grave, that day's coming. You know, one morning you put your socks on, but you won't take them off at night. It'll be the undertaker who takes them off. You know, you'll be gone out of this world. You know, ready or not, you know, when the time comes, you go, you know. When the grim reaper comes, you might be a king, you might be a prime minister, you might just be a street preacher, but everybody faces the grim reaper. When God calls, you go. When God says, that's it, you're done, you're finished, you go. God was to require your soul of you tonight. Where would you spend eternity? I urge you, think on these things. Prepare, get ready for that day when your life will end. You'll breathe your last and go out of this world. Because you see, we're all of us under, like it or not, we're under the control and authority of God. You know, it's not your call, you know. Here you are today, you think that the universe revolves around you. You know, that you're number one, that you're the master of your own destiny. You don't choose when you die. You don't choose when you breathe your last. You got no say in the matter. You're under God's authority. You're under His control. He controls your very next breath. It's in the palm of His hand, not yours. So when He calls, you go. You know, when He says it's finished, you're done. You're out of it and you meet with God. Prepare, friend. Prepare to meet your God. I say your God. Your God in the sense that He made you. Your God in the sense that you know exists just the same as I do. But of course, because you're in unbelief, because you don't love Him, because you're a sinner, because you're a rebel by nature and by choice, of course, you don't know Him in grace, you don't know Him in love, you don't know His forgiveness, you don't know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, you don't know these things. That's why I say to you, prepare to meet your God, your Creator, that is, the one who's your lawgiver, the one who's your judge, and the one who's judging the very thoughts and intents of your heart, even right now, this moment, and one day will bring you fully and finally to judgment. In that day, when you breathe your last, go out of this world, are you ready? I ask you, are you prepared to meet God? Then, of course, you know, all the money in the world, you know? I read about a guy just last week over there in Lincolnshire, and they tell me that he won the lottery. 76 million pounds he's won on the lottery. Makes no difference. God calls him next week. He's gone. He's out of it. All the money in the world doesn't hold him back. You can be as rich as a king. You can be the richest man in the world. But when God says, you're done, you're done, you're gone. Because you're under His authority, under His control. Money don't hinder it. You might be the most skillful. You know, you might have status, you know, in the community of Staffordshire. It doesn't matter who or what you are. When God calls you out of this world, you go, young, old, middle-aged, it don't matter. No matter what your state it is, don't matter, friends, how much money you got in the bank or how little. But then, of course, following, you know, your dissolution, following your departure from this world, then, of course, your unbelief will tell you. You know, you're godless, atheistic people, you know, that have pumped you full of that have indoctrinated you with their godless trash, you know. And they tell you, well, you know, hey, forget about it, man. Don't worry about it, man. You know, when you're dead, you're dead. That's it. Finito. End of story. Well, that's not what God says. That's not what the Bible says. Look, hey, read the words. It is appointed for man once to die. After that, the judgment. Death is inevitable. Judgment is inescapable. You your lawgiver, the one whose laws you trashed all the days of your life. Friend, in that day you stand before the judge of all the earth, who always and ever always does that which is right. And guess what? You who may claim not to be sinners, God will never judge. God will never condemn one innocent person. But get this, friend. There's no such a thing as an innocent person. Not even the newborn child is innocent. Not the most aged, not the holiest of men or women who have ever walked the face of this earth. There was only ever one innocent person who walked this earth. His name was Jesus Christ. And guess what we did? Yeah, we nailed him to a cross. We hated him. We despised him. And we nailed him to a cross. You know the old Negro song, you remember? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Yes, we were, all of us, every single one of us. We were there, driving the nails in hatred, in rebellion against God. In spite of that manifestation of his great, immense, and vast love that would deliver you, save you from that day of judgment that is inescapable. When you die, when you breathe your last, you go out of this world feet first, the way you come in. You come into the world naked and you go out the same way. You take nothing with you. Not your house and all its trinkets. Not your computers, laptops, and your iPads. You leave them behind. You take nothing with you. Prepare to meet your God. That's good advice, straight out of the Bible. But then, of course, well, men will, in that day, be confronted with the God they knew, always knew existed. You see, the Bible says the wrath of God, the displeasure of God is revealed from heaven against all the unrighteousness, wickedness, that is, of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, in their wickedness. It is, huh?
God bless you.
Thank you. So like I say, friends, you know that God exists just the same as I do. You know, there's no such a thing as an atheist on the whole planet. You might call yourself that, you know, but calling yourself something doesn't make yourself that thing, you know. No such a thing as an atheist. Everybody knows that God is. Now, you don't believe me, young lady. I get that. That's why I'm here. Now, unbelief, of course, that's the problem. Not atheism. It's not that you don't know that God is. It's that you don't believe. You won't believe. Refuse to believe. But of course, were you to believe, you would be saved. That's the command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the promise is you shall be saved. God requires of you repentance of that unbelief. Repentance coming from it. But no thought of returning to it. And believing, trusting in the righteousness of another, even God's Son, Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. So you see, the meeting with God, prepare to meet your God, that meeting is inevitable, and His judgment is inescapable. So preparation, you see, is necessary. Well, that is quite a favorable outcome. You know, you want to hear those words, you know? And when you meet with God, well done, my good and faithful, full of faith, servant. Or maybe those other words, get out of my sight, I never knew you. But it'll be one or the other. And that's why you have to prepare yourself. Not an easy matter to get yourself out of that unbelief. In fact, you can do it yourself. You need the help of another. You need a Savior. You need somebody to deliver you from your unbelief. Somebody to rescue you. But the Bible tells us that's why Jesus Christ came into the world, to rescue, to save sinners, unbelievers, that is. It's only believers that are saved. Naturally speaking, as we're born into this world, we're unholy, guilty, excluded from God. And our end, the end of our lives, the end of our time in this world will be shame, confusion, and eternal death if we're not prepared, if we're not ready to meet with God. Right with God, that is. So preparation, you see, is absolutely essential. A deep repentance. God now commands all men everywhere to repent. Repentance is essential for entrance into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand. Bible says, repent and believe the gospel, the words of Jesus Christ himself. Except you repent, he says, you shall all likewise perish in your sin. But for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish in their sin, that is, but have eternal life. Oh, friends, without that repentance, without that sorrow, without that brokenness, without that contrition, without that humility, without that acknowledgement, that deep acknowledgement of your sin, of your state and condition before God, of the awfulness, the heinousness of your sin, without that, there's no way forward. That's the first step, repentance, turning. Turn, says God, why will you die? When there's life to be had, eternal life to be had in my Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, the love of Christ, I ask you, do you know it? Have you experienced? Have you tasted the love of Christ that passes knowledge? That love that forgives, that love that cleanses, that love that turns a man's hatred for God into love for God. That love of Jesus Christ, that dying love of Jesus Christ, by which only a man or woman can be prepared to meet God. For without him, without me, he says, you can do nothing, nothing at all. You did not choose me. He said to his disciples, I chose you. Instead of him, friends, not you. Not you. Unless he smiles, unless he shows you favor, unless he comes to you in the preaching of the gospel. But that's why I'm here, I know. I know it's foolishness. Foolishness to those who are perishing. That's what God's word says. Foolishness, nonsense, the preaching of the gospel, that is, to those who are dying in their sin, to those who are perishing, to those who are not right with God, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God for salvation, that is, for everybody who believes. Not all men head for head, but those who believe, those who repent, those who turn from their sin. Those who turn away from it in sorrow, knowing that they've offended a God of love, knowing that they've offended the ultimate holiness, knowing that they've trashed the love of God underfoot. Ah, dear friends, prepare to meet your God. Repentance is absolutely essential. Unless you do, unless there is repentance, unless there is that sorrow, unless there is that brokenheartedness for your sin, unless there is that humbling of yourself under the mighty hand of God and crying out to him with tears of repentance, tears of sorrow, contrition of heart, there can be no readiness, no preparedness to meet your God. Oh, I urge you today, begin today, prepare to meet your God. But then, of course, repentance in itself is not enough. There has to be faith. You see, the two go together. That's why Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel. They're like Siamese twins. You can't separate them without destroying them. You can't separate repentance from faith, because the man who believes is a man who repents. And the man who repents is a man who believes. Nobody did one without the other. Repent and believe. Faith in Jesus Christ, that's what saves. That's what makes a man, makes a woman ready to meet God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you cannot be ready to meet God. Without faith, man, without faith, you're lost, you're undone. Believing, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is the command. Only believe, says Jesus, to those many, many people we read of in the Gospels who come to Him with all kinds of problems, all kinds of evil and sin. The answer given is the same on every occasion, different words, but the same answer. Only believe. If you can, everything is possible to the one who believes. Believe, trust in God. Because without that faith, without repentance, without faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, faith in Jesus, not faith in Allah, not faith in Muhammad, not faith in the Pope, not faith in Buddha, not faith in Confucius, not faith in your world religions, not faith in yourself. You're the last person you need to trust. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Oh, just go with your heart, some people say. That's the worst thing you could possibly do. Because your heart's so desperately wicked, says God. You dare not trust your own heart. That would be folly to the utmost. No, you need to trust in somebody else. You need to trust not even in your own righteousness. Some perceived goodness, you know, that you think you have. A good person. How many lies have you told? How much lusting have you done after the opposite or same sex? Huh? You ever stolen anything? Big or small, no matter. You see what I mean? Just like God says in His Word, there's none good. There's nobody good, not one of us.
Be positive.
Sorry?
Be positive, my friend.
Oh, I am, sir. I am. It's yourself that needs it. Positive in the gospel. I'm not here to frighten anybody, sir. I haven't got that power, mister. You might have, not me. So like I say, friend, like the gentleman said, it's not tears that save. It's love. Oh, I quite agree, the love of God. But of course, as long as you reject the love of God, then how can you be saved? The love of God, unless there's the fear of God in you. Unless there's a respect for God, for His name. That name that you blaspheme. No, I don't think there's much fear about in Cannock today. I don't think that's a problem. Oh, I would that I had the power. I would that I had the ability to make you afraid, to put the fear of God into you, but I don't. No, I'm not here. I'm not here to frighten you. I don't have that power. I don't have that ability. I just warn you. Warn you of the danger, the impending danger. You're going to meet with God. You're going to meet with the judge of all the earth. And friends, that will be frightening. That will be more fearful than ever you could possibly imagine it to be. So yes, there's something to be frightened of. Your sin, its consequences, what it's doing to you now, and what it will do to you in the end when you breathe your last and stand before God. Oh, there's something to be frightened of. Be fearful, tremble, jacket and get on your knees and cry out to God that in His love and grace He would have mercy upon you and save and deliver you. Deliver you from the consequences of your sin. That He might turn you. That He might turn you. That you might be ready, prepared in that day to meet with God, to meet with your Maker. So like I say, faith in Jesus Christ brings the peace of God, peace with God, an end to the warfare, an end to the hostility against God, which is your natural state and condition. The carnal mind, the Bible says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. Can't be any other way. Is it subject to the law of God, the love of God, or anything else? That's your natural born state and condition. Hostility, hatred for God. That's why we get the response that we do. You know, apathy, indifference, couldn't care less. You know, one day you will, but maybe, who knows, too late. Lest that is, you're prepared to meet God. Oh, I urge you today, I urge you, get ready for that day when God will judge all humankind. Peace with God, of course, leads to the peace of God, but of course you can't have the one without the other. You can't have the peace of God until you've made peace with God. Until the hostility comes to an end. Until you take it in faith to the cross of His Son, Jesus Christ, and get it washed away in His blood. Only the cross, only the love of God and Jesus Christ demonstrated on the cross, the greatest demonstration of God's love for sinners, in that Christ died for the ungodly. Men and women, contrary to God in their natures, contrary to God in their practice, contrary to God in their choice, contrary to God in every which way. An enmity, hatred against God. That's what you need to be saved from. But until you make peace with God, till you surrender, till you raise the white flag in submission to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, I tell you, you're not ready to meet with God. Not by a long shot. Peace with God, pardon of your sins, forgiveness. Oh, there is forgiveness with God. The Bible tells us that He might be, yes, feared. Feared, deeply respected. That's the very heart of the gospel, friend. That there is forgiveness, because if your sins are forgiven, nothing else in all this world really matters. All the things that you worry about, all the anxiety that fills you, friends, I tell you, if your sins are forgiven, you get nothing else to worry about. But as long as you remain in your sin, as long as you remain in your unbelief, as long as you face the prospect of coming to that point of death, of dissolution, when God takes you out of this world by the scruff of your neck, albeit. Oh, friends, coming to that place, you know why the Bible refers to death as being the king of terrors? What makes it so terrible? Friends, coming to it unforgiving. Coming to it knowing that your sins are not forgiven. Knowing that you're faced with eternity. And knowing, of course, that you've got to face your Maker. Prepare to meet your God. There's nothing, I tell you, more certain, more inevitable. You're going to meet with Him, and judgment is inescapable. You see, a man, Jesus tells us, has to be born again. You must be born again. You see, how can a man be born again? How can he return? The religious man asked the question in the Bible. How can a man return to his mother's womb and be born again? Impossible. Of course it is. Not what Jesus is talking about. He was talking about regeneration. He was talking about resurrection. He was talking about life from the dead. Because here's the truth, here's the hub of the matter. You're born into a state of death. You know? You're dead from the moment you're born. Conceived in sin, born in sin. And therefore children of wrath. In a state of death, dead in your trespasses and sins, until God in Jesus Christ makes you alive. Made alive. Resurrected from the dead. Reborn, regenerated. Nobody ever repented. Nobody ever believed. Nobody ever got right with God until they were regenerated by the power of Almighty God. Born again, not of the will of man, not your will. Not you who decide. Not you who call it. Not the will of man, not the will of the flesh. Friends, the flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit who gives life. Born again of the Spirit of God. Unless you can testify, unless you can confess today, you know, point to a day, you know, and say that's the time when I was reborn. That's the time when I was raised from the dead. That's the time when God made me alive. Then you're not ready to meet with God. You must be born again, Jesus said so. Unless you are, you're not ready to meet with God. Not yet. So to prepare, that's the admonition. That's the Bible's counsel. Prepare to meet your God. It's not talking about getting religious, it's talking about believing on Jesus Christ, following after Jesus Christ. Because there's no form of religion devised by man that can prepare anybody to meet with God. Not the Islamic variety, not the Roman Catholic variety, not the Watchtower variety, not the Mormon variety. There is no cult, no sect, no religion in all this world that can prepare you to meet God. Only Jesus Christ, only the Son of God can do that for you. One basis, and one basis alone, on which you can be acceptable to God, and that's in His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Born of a woman, born under the law, who came to redeem those under the law, under His condemnation, that is, condemned to a man, to a woman, lawbreakers, sinners, transgressors of the law of God, to a man, to a woman, every single one of us born into this world. So only on the basis of the gospel, the good news, Jesus Christ, who came into the world for this reason, this purpose, who died for this reason, this purpose, who shed His atoning blood, that you might be washed and made clean, that you might be ready to meet God in that day when you depart this world, when God takes you from it. But the preparation has to be done, you know, properly, has to be done earnestly, seriously. It's not a light matter. You've got to make it your primary concern, like Jesus says. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Because nothing more important in all this world. You know, you've got to pursue getting right with God the same way that you pursue your sin just now, you know. Pursue, you know, your lust. Gratify the desires and lust of your heart and mind all with the same seriousness. You've got to seek after and find rightness with God. But of course, maybe, you know, to agonize before the cross, before the throne of God, to cry out to Him night and day, give Him no rest until He comes to you. until you know that you're right with God, until you know that you're prepared to meet Him, until you know that you've been forgiven, until you know that you have eternal life in your soul, until you know that you're clear with God. But then, of course, friends, preparing. You're not preparing to meet with God. Well, you have to think of what's at stake at the end. Maybe perhaps you care nothing for these things today. Maybe this means nothing to you, but the day will come when it will. We're talking about your soul. We're talking about your eternal destiny. We're talking about heaven or hell. We're talking about, you know, the end of your course in this world. Death is not the end. God makes that clear, testifies, but you know that. You know that. You've got eternity in your soul. And when you breathe your last, friend, and stand before God and He dispatches you into a lost eternity, you're there. You're there for eternity. When you've been there for a million years, a trillion years, you've still got eternity to go. No end to it. But of course, you make an end of sin now. You make an end of sin today. You turn from your sin. You forsake your sin, forsake self, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Turn to God, to His Son, Jesus Christ, in the way of repentance and faith. You will be ready, prepared to meet God. So, you know, the days are dangerous. You live in days of terrible, terrible apostasy in your land. Days of rebellion. Days of darkness. Days when the grace of God is, by and large, withdrawn from your society. No wonder, you know, a Christ-rejecting nation and generation. Is it any wonder that God should withdraw His grace? Oh no, there's not many, but some, thankfully some. Who knows, it could be you. Could be you, depends, of course. Depends on your hearing, depends on your response, depends upon your heart condition. Pay heed to the gospel. Pay heed to the doctrine of the gospel. Pay heed to what Jesus Christ tells you and bids you to do. Prepare to meet your God. Because nothing is more important. Not many are saved. Not many in this day and generation that get right with God. But some. No reason why it could not be you. Not at all. That is should you repent. That is should you turn. That is should you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I bid you today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as many people have done in the past. Whether you be young, middle aged, old age, it matters not. Age is of no account to God. As long as you got the breath of life in you, you can get right with God in the way that is of repentance and faith towards His Son, Jesus Christ. These words come to you all, prepare to meet your God, every one of you. But of course you pay no heed, you neglect, you reject the words, you reject the admonition of God. Well then, who's to blame? Who's to blame when you're faced with that judgment? Who's to blame when you're faced with that dismissal from the presence of God? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Who's to blame? The gospel is proclaimed to you. The good news, the message of salvation, the love of God demonstrated in the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. The eternal life that is offered to you in the gospel as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Justification, righteousness of God, and eternal life in His name is offered to you in the gospel. Will you take it? Offered to you sincerely. God promises that if you believe on His Son Jesus Christ, you will be saved. So if you don't believe, well then you won't be saved. It's only believers who occupy heaven. It's only believers who are right with God. Believers, that is, in His Son Jesus Christ, nobody else. So you reject the offer. You reject the invitation. You reject the command. Nobody's blame but yours. Yours alone. So I bid you awake from your sleep of death. Awake, go to Christ, and He will give you light. He will give you life, the Bible says. Eternal life, what He came for. My sheep hear My voice, He says. I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never. Eternal life. Eternal life, of course, is more than just endless life, everlasting life. It's a quality of life now, here in this world, without the sin, without the gratifying of the sinful lust of the flesh. It's a quality of life here and now, in this world, eternal life. Jesus Christ says, I came to give life. I came that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So arise. Arise from your indifference. Stir yourselves to seek after the Lord. Because that interview with God that beckons, is marked on His calendar. The decade, the year, the month, the week, the day, the hour, the moment is marked on God's calendar when you'll breathe your last and then meet with God. Oh, I hope and pray you'll be ready. You'll be prepared for that day. Get prepared now. Get right with God. Repent and believe the gospel. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. For He will show mercy, pardon abundantly. Come now, says the Lord, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Forgiveness. There is forgiveness with God, that He may be feared. Turn, turn. Why will you die? I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, He says. But rather that they should live, and live everlastingly, eternally, in the presence of God. Prepare to meet your God today, friend. While you have the breath of life in you, you'd like to have a copy of God's Word. Check these things out for yourself. See that they are so, in accordance with the Word of God, written. Offer to you, Word of God. Offer to you freely, yours for the taking. Do it as you will, freely offered. Freely take, meditate, study upon. See what God would say to you. How you can be ready for that day when you depart this world. When you stand before your Maker, your Judge, that He, in that day, my prayer is, would be your Savior too, your Redeemer. Like a copy of God's Word, you come and ask for one. May God bless you, and have mercy upon your precious, never dying souls.